This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan, counting it down until San Francisco Dallas Cowboys divisional round right now, brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. It is the owner and general manager of your Dallas Cowboys. It is Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir, and happy divisional round.
Well, thank you, guys. And again, it is wonderful to be sitting here alive relative to the playoffs. Looking onward, upward, and ahead, and excited about our team headed to San Francisco.
So we're going to talk about the specifics of the game, to be sure, and I know y'all have bigger dreams than just winning on Sunday, but how much would it mean to win this game, make it back to the NFC Championship game for the first time in 27 years? What would it mean to you, the organization, and maybe most importantly, this fan base?
Well, let me just start off. I don't think it's any bigger. I don't think I can dream any bigger than Sunday. I think it's that important. Every snap, every down is where it all is. This is a deja vu. It reminds me of our first championship game when we went out there to play the 49ers. I just can think about nothing else but playbacks, Alvin Harper catching that and running 90% of the field and making a big score that launched us into a Super Bowl. So I've got it on Sunday. We get it done Sunday. I may roll my eyes back and they never get back around straight again, and you'll have to have somebody else talk to him weeks ahead.
I mean, I wish no ill will on you, but I hope for the sake of all of us, we're in that position.
I do too. Doug Swallowed the whole show.
Hey, you know, Jerry, I've been saying all week, this is two fighters, punch for punch, going the entire game. And it seemed like against Tampa, you know, kind of got they got hit early and they never really recovered. San Francisco is going to continue battling. That's just the type of team they are. What's the sideline like? What are the locker rooms like? And even in your suite, what is there nervousness going on? What's the mentality there?
No fun. Although when revisited, if you come out of there with a win, it was the greatest time of your life, but no fun. Sideline solemn, locker room solemn. Everybody basically resolving, not rah-rahing, but just resolving. Everyone knows what's at stake here. It's just very physical. It's a very serious prospect and very serious time.
All right, so Jerry, I know that we get this thing wrong a lot, and we kind of wrote off San Francisco once Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt because they were having to go to a seventh round pick, a rookie in Brock Purdy. What have you seen from Brock Purdy that he has taken the San Francisco team and honestly made them better than when Jimmy Garoppolo was their quarterback?
Well, I just see an inordinate rookie an inordinate play and his ability to convert and his presence. I saw him get out of the pocket a little bit, avoid a potential problem with a tackler, and then just came out of that like he'd been doing it 15 years and made the play this past weekend. I saw that play. So that's exceptional. We've got to realize that we just can't put this is an inexperienced player. Let's play accordingly. On the other hand, everybody is going to use every advantage that we've got. Back to our first question we had, Michael Irvin used to literally, we know that when he got in a tight spot, you could hear him laughing. You could hear him literally smiling. And he said, I smile when I get scared. Mm. And I kind of giggle when I get scared. That means I'm serious and I'm in trouble. And so that's the way we want to play this game.
You know, Jerry, also to piggyback on Mike's question, this is two underdrafted quarterbacks going against each other. Are the Niners and Cowboys proving that you can kind of find a quarterback anywhere?
Well, I don't know that I would make that assessment, but I would sure tell you that we know, history tells us, that a player that isn't recognized in the draft can become a great player, if you will. And that is the case. That's not a fourth-round draft pick no more. That's Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And he has been through so many things now in his career and shown what you want to see in a quarterback that he comes out tomorrow, he's the first pick in the draft. He's not a fourth-rounder anymore.
How much do you think y'all talked a lot, or we heard a lot around the draft about that physical mentality, like being actually physical and being mentally tough as well with the draft and with the team? How much tougher do you think this version of the Dallas Cowboys is than last year's, which physically on the field seemed to get pushed around by the 49ers?
Well, I think that the 49er game last year made us revisit the bulk that we had in the middle of our defensive front. And we did revisit it, and we have revisited continually. And so that game impacted what we are today in the most important way, and that's to be able to do something about the run. We're going to have to do that. I like what we've got in mind. You hear the term physical. It really is... you just expect every play to have everyone realizing that if you've got him stopped another 6 inches because of his momentum and his will as opposed to yours, and you could have kept that 6 inches from being there, that's what's in your mind. I think that's what I think of as physical. Every play is like it's the Super Bowl play that you're going to see on ESPN.
Well, when it comes to that, Jerry, watching some San Francisco film last night and then obviously watching all the Cowboy games this year, you feel like this game could come down to the two best defensive players in the NFL, Micah Parsons versus Bosa?
I think it's already coming down to those nuances. I'd like to think it is. And that's a good point to make about those two players. Although they're not going to be competing directly against each other, they're pitted against each other mentally. But you can do that in several places across the board. Our running game, their running game. Our big play guys, their big play guys. Our quarterback, their quarterback, all the way through. So I think that's what you have happen when you have a big game like this. It's great to be in this territory.
I don't think Micah Parsons needs any motivation, but just in case you're looking to fire him up, just make sure you tell him that Nick Bosa is going to win Defensive Player of the Year and he's going to finish second, and so we can unleash hell on them on Sunday.
I'll tell you what. When I look at a combination of attributes of a player, I think of Micah, and he has no problem psyching himself up to a rage. And he lives
awesome
that way, I think, and plays those kinds of mental, not games, but just mental incentives. And I think he does do that even when he's not answering some question from the media.
Yeah, it's good to have a guy like that. You don't have to do anything for him. He just does it all himself. That's always good. The Kellen Moore, and for that matter, Dan Quinn.
They have a great imagination, too.
Yes, yeah.
They have lines going on between each other and behind those eyes, or he may have big tanks going on. You never know, but it'll come out for you. And he's got some games going on in there.
Yeah, it's nice. Your offensive and defensive coordinators last week, I mean, Kellen Moore just seemed to have – he never ran out of plays against Tampa. And then on the other side, Dan Quinn had Tom Brady in a mixer. Like he at one point he was like, I don't know what's going on out there. How much of a chess match amongst coaches is this going to be as well, with how good their coaching is on the other side as well?
I hope that by watching a midseason game of ours, that San Francisco can't see anything that they're going to see Sunday.
Ooh.
And I hope that is the case. Now, I'm just sure we're both going to see an exaggerated effort or an exaggerated passion. But when it comes to opening up the portfolio of plays that we have that our players are capable of making or fit their skills the best, I hope they see mostly things they haven't seen before.
So, Jerry, I know you talked about with Sean and RJ on Tuesday, Dak Prescott and how well he ran the ball. He took advantage of situations where he ran the ball. I was wondering from your perspective, do you ever talk to Dak during the regular season, hey, protect yourself, we need you throughout the season, and then going into the playoffs, hey, go get it, whatever it takes, go do it. Now it's time to risk it for the biscuit.
I don't dwell on it, but before the game against Tampa, I visited with him and told him to, and for what I'm about, be very aggressive. For what I'm about, be very aggressive. And so not that triggered him into anything. He looked over and he said, I'm going to be very aggressive.
I like
that. The issue I think I'd heard was, has he been too aggressive? Is that what those interceptions are about? Trying to make it when it might not be there. Well, the little talk I had with him right before the game at least expressed my sentiment on be very aggressive.
We were talking about Micah and the defense earlier. I know he doesn't get anywhere near as much play, and Micah is amazing, but how impactful has Leighton Vander Esch been, or how impactful was he in the Tampa game, and what does he mean to this defense overall?
Well, you know, Vander Esch has never faltered in terms of his unique skill set. He's got such range because of his length and those big long arms, and that ability to cover that ground out there are a real advantage, and they're problematic for an opposing quarterback. When he looks out there, he sees those arms and that span, and it influences how he makes a throw. Well, we've always known that was there. Did we use it well enough? Did we maximize the use of what Vander Esch does? Well, because of the neck injury that he had 3 years ago, then that might have been a little late in coming. But, boy, it's there now. And you saw us get the benefit of his range, his ability to basically cover his immediate zone, but then get wide and go out and make plays on the edge, and then to use that length. There, he is a huge advantage to have on that field.
When it comes to traveling like this, I mean, going from the East Coast to West Coast, does that concern you much about having to do that, and especially in such a short period of time?
None at all. None at all. If these guys weren't traveling, they'd be up someplace. And so, and when you live the life they live of playing football, then having another hour flying as opposed to another hour doing something else is no issue at all. That sounds good, but everything that's on everybody's mind now is that 60 minutes out on that field. How you get there is minutia.
I am curious, with that in mind, do you know of many players, or do you yourself have trouble sleeping before these big games? Because I know we've had fans all week are like, I can't wait for this game to get here.
Do.
How do players respond to that? How do you respond like Saturday night going into this game?
Well, I sleep about where my excitement level is. And sometimes if I've been too excited and had too much fun before I go to sleep, I sleep pretty good. Sometimes if I've got something like we have on our mind right now, I don't sleep well at all. And that in my life doesn't just have to be a football game. So I can't tell you usually when the day comes whether or not I'm going to sleep a lot or not.
Sometimes a little extra whiskey will help that, Mike.
Help me out a few sure. Movement, exercise, mental exercise. It's what goes on those hours before you lay your head down that makes the difference for me. And I don't have regular sleeping habits.
So, Jerry, when it comes to San Francisco, I know you guys go to Philadelphia every year, New York and Washington every year, and we hear about how they can kind of razz you guys maybe at the hotel or on the bus ride over to the park. What is San Francisco fans like? Are they similar to NFC East fans, or are they different?
No, I think they're very, very engaged, very excited. Because of our experience in the playoffs with them, we had that period of time when we were really at the top of our games, both the 49ers and the Cowboys. I enjoyed a before life, Cowboys life in San Francisco. I had a lot of business out there. Our daughter Charlotte went to Stanford. Some of the greatest years, her first year of when I had an office out there, and I'd go out about six times a year to San Francisco. When she went to school as a freshman, I made 36 trips out there.
Wow.
Wow.
I put an office in Palo Alto, a little office, and Gene went to class with her. We were worried about our little daughter out there in that rough Northern California life, so to speak. But the point is, we've had some great years out there, and that was followed up. When Charlotte was a freshman, they had the first Super Bowl, and they moved it over to the Stanford campus. Hmm. And so as a freshman, I had about three tickets to get into all the events right there on the campus, all of O.J. Simpson, everybody with all the networks. And she had, of course, made a lot of friends as a freshman, so I had about 20 people to get in those events with four tickets. That's when I won the Player of the Year for Crashing Gates. And well, we were throwing little Jerry. Jerry was about 11, 12 years old, and we were throwing him over 15-foot fences.
Oh, my goodness.
And they'd grab him, and he'd be like Oliver Twist coming out of there with him, having him by the nape of the neck. But we just kept going. We got everybody in. And all those parties out there, and that was before we even knew how to spell NFL.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
That's fantastic. Jerry, my daughter, our daughter is going to college next year, and what you just said, I would love to do as a father and visit her a lot, and I would have a blast doing it. But I don't know if my daughter would like me going to college so much when she's a freshman. Did Charlotte appreciate you being there, or was she like, Dad, you got to let me grow up?
That is the point. She had deference. She tolerated us during that time. But she would go on spring break, and I wanted to just be there. And so that was me out there early in the morning fixing those towels at wherever she had gone on spring break with four or five other girls. That was me out there fixing their places to sit by the pool and keeping those so that others wouldn't take them up before they got up.
Absolutely amazing story right there.
Jerry, there's a lot for us. We've been discussing a lot of nostalgia this week as we go up against San Francisco. And I know for you, there's a lot going on there. I was kind of curious, aside from Michael Irvin, all right, Michael Irvin's a very easy pick for this. If you were going to take one of those Cowboys from the Super Bowl team, that first Super Bowl team, and have them tell a story to this team about being an underdog, going into Candlestick, who do you want to tell the story from that perspective?
I'd like for, other than Michael,
yeah.
I'd like for Troy. I think Troy has a good view, a different view than a Mark Tuanay might have had, but one that I would love for our fans to hear. And but there's no doubt that what we were before we played in that, let's say, that NFC Championship game out there, before we got to Los Angeles, there's no question that we grew when Alvin Harper made that long run mm-hmm. and got us off the goal line. And we became emboldened, and we realized, because we hadn't, we realized that it could happen to us.
Well, when you talk about the team growing, I know that was off a specific play. I saw some interesting things where, like, CeeDee Lamb came over to Brett Maher during the win over Tampa, and he said, "We're behind you, bro. You're good. You've bailed us out plenty of times." And it seemed like a lot of players did the same thing. Do you feel as though this team has grown together through the year, through some of that adversity?
I think Mike McCarthy, I go to him first. I think he and the team have done an outstanding job of becoming a brotherhood, just becoming together, yes, as a team. And I think that you're seeing it, as we know, setbacks as well as wins. Both those frauds can mislead you about what you are. And at the end of the day, this is the greatest team sport because it calls on you to do a lot of different things other than just have some skills and refined skills. And so coming together like that is a part of having the team and the things that you live through together, such as going down to Tampa and having our kicker miss all those field goals. Now, you can't dismiss technical things you have to correct.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just get here by having a fraternal bond. And I'm not trying to be trite, but that does get embellished when you have trying experiences together. And it's on both ends, whether it be a big setback or whether it be a big accomplishment.
Well, Jerry, we appreciate your time as always. We know you want it. We know the organization wants it. And this fan base definitely, definitely wants that win on Sunday. So go Cowboys.
It is an absolute thrill to just get to be a part of it. And I'm so happy for these, for all of our fans, that we're getting to share these moments. And ever play will be an eternity out there this weekend.
Can't wait. Thank you, sir.
Great. Guys, bye.
There you go. Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Just one bit of logistics.
I'm getting chills, bro.
I'm with you.
I'm so ready for this game.
I am with you. Just one bit of logistics, since people text in and ask about it. When you hear that beep, that's their phone, because I can hear the ringing right behind it. Because I know in the past some people have been like, what is that? That's a phone, because you hear the boop and then underneath it you can hear the phone ringing. So I'm sure he's like, hey, somebody answered the damn phone. Because remember, we had him on one time, and I can't remember if he
knocked on the window
or something. You could hear the phone ringing, and then you hear him go, and I said, hey, Jerry, was the phone ringing? And you just knocked, and he goes, well, that's very astute. That is exactly what happened. So that's just the phone.
Yeah.
But, dude, I'm with you, man. And I know it was
Dak calling saying, hey, you tell those guys right now, there's no problems on Sunday.
You put it in 3-inch headlines. I get it. Like, for all of the negativity about, hey, why is it taking us so long to get back here? Or why haven't they been in this situation more often? I understand all of that. But I am going into the game on Sunday hoping that they win, and then you're one of the last four teams. Then you get to play in the game to go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, when you said it, you're hyped. I'm with you.
I don't know if, Mike, you agree with this. There was a lot of just kind of going with the wind on decision making prior to this.
Yeah.
This, and even, you know, last year this team underachieved. They could have been a lot better in that game against San Francisco, but they were a good team all year. But I think coaching was kind of missing in a lot of areas. Talent was missing in a lot of areas. And over the last 3 years, as Mike McCarthy has come in, and I really do give him a lot of credit for this, working with Will, working with Steven, getting the right coaching staff around him to do that, he's done a very good job of making sure that the Cowboys players look like they want them to look, act like they want them to act. Well, this guy's not good enough. They didn't give us what we need. I know you kind of want this pressure from Randy Gregory, but, man, are we going to be better off without it? I think we can be. And they've proven those things. The Stephen Jones, I told you so tour, yeah, kind of in that way.
God, I hope we get that on Monday.
This is a diff. I think the Cowboys have learned and grown. Stephen and Jerry and Will have built a really good thing, and the coaching staff's there too, and they got the right leadership in the locker room. I think it's a unique team, man. It's going to be a blast.
The thing that's tough about sports, and maybe we talk about this more later in the show, is sometimes, Corey, all of that stuff can be true, but you're still just not good enough yet.
Absolutely.
Like, all of that stuff could be true, but you still might not be good enough to beat the 49ers. I'm hoping that that is not the case, but that could be the reality.
Just go with Choppy. It's all luck.
Okay, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Maybe fire up the start of some Cowboys bingo and finish up our possible Super Bowl matchups from yesterday. All of it next right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.